preach this word. Please remember Brother Roger in your prayers. The more prayers, the sooner he gets healed, the less you have to hear from me. That was a joke. I do thank you for allowing me to come and stand before you this morning. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And as we do, Brother Trent, please do us more of prayer. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18 this morning. Genesis chapter 18 this morning. I'm not good with titles for a message, but I think I got one here. It's, can God not do it? It's a question we're going to look at, because looking at his word, is there anything that God cannot do? Is there anything that is too hard for God? Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So this morning, we're going to look at examples, and the point is to bring out, there is nothing too hard for God to do. There is nothing that God can't do. Okay, we'll read a verse that says there's one thing he can't do. He cannot lie. Besides sin and lie, there is nothing that God cannot do. And one thing we have to understand, the only reason that we say God can't do it is because we fail God. God will never fail you. It's because of your unbelief. But turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In verse 27. And Jesus, verse 26. Yeah, I might as well read verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is a sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So we read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, because it is impossible for God to lie. So when we read something in the Word of God that is from God, know that it is the truth. It is not a lie. God is incapable of lying. He can't do it. So when you read these verses and say, nothing is impossible for God. No, God is not limited by anything in this world. We limit God. Turn to Psalm 78. I mean, look at the examples we've already read so far. Bits and pieces of the examples we read so far. We have Sarah and Abraham. God promised them a child. They were old. She was barren. There was no possibility for her to have a child. Guess what? They had a child. Elizabeth had a child. Mary had a child not knowing a man. A virgin had a child. That is physically and literally impossible. God did it. We're going to look at some more examples. God is, he's really good at doing the impossible things. It's amazing. Everything that we may think is impossible and mankind has spent their whole life trying to do, it is so easy for God to do. We have tried so hard to create life. You know, God created life with his words. We try so hard to prevent death, to keep people, to bring them back to life. You know, God, have you ever just sat down and counted how many people God brought back to life physically in this Bible? I mean, you look at it, Elisha did it, Lazarus, Jesus. Those are the three because I have those written down, but There's more. He's done it a lot of times. You read the Bible, there's not a single thing that mankind thinks is impossible that God hasn't been able to do. We read sang a song this morning, the master, the storms. Literally, mankind cannot control the weather. Jesus Christ, with his word, said, peace be still, the storm was done. Imagine how cool it would be. God can do that stuff. Psalm 78, verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? We're going to look at Israel this morning. And one of the examples is the spies in Canaan land when they go to spy out the land. But I just wanted to read this verse for a second. And they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. You sit there and read, how much has God promised and says, I will do this, just follow me. And we say, no, you can't do that. God can do it. If God said it, he can do it. So when God gets limited, it's because we limit him. We say, no, God can't do that. And when you say God can't do it, guess what? He might just not do it. If you want to sit there and say he can't, why would he do it? Why would he force it on you if you don't want him to do it? Lost friend, if you're trying to get saved, but you don't think that God can truly save you, he will not save you. You have to fully believe and give over to God, knowing he can do what he said he will do. So when you turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a promise of God. So when God says it, no, if you do what God says, it will happen. You want to know how I know he can save your soul? He saved my soul. You know when he saved my soul? When I just believed and gave it to him. And guess what? As soon as I did that, I was saved forever. If you are truly saved, it's because at one moment in your life, you gave everything to God. If you have never done that, you are not truly saved. But you can be, because this promise, thou shalt be saved. Yeah. You know, In school, I learned there's a legal difference between the word shall and shalt. Shall is a suggestion. Shalt is the law. If it says thou shalt not do this, do not do it. It's against the law. When God says thou shalt be saved, it is a promise. God cannot lie. You will be saved. So if you have not been saved yet today, quit trying and just believe that God can do it. Well, I've tried so much. It's been too hard. I can't do it. You can't do it. That is correct. God can do it, though. Nothing in this life we can really do on our own except screw up and sin. You realize how much God can do in your life if you just let him? Nothing is impossible for God. Turn to Jeremiah 32. We have to remember who we're dealing with when we're talking about God. Jeremiah 32. Verse 17, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You realize that? God created this earth. There's another verse, I believe it's Isaiah. It says, this earth is his footstool. He can do anything. In this life, there is nothing that God can't do. You want to know why? God created everything. You really think the creator can't handle his own creation? I mean, think about that for a second. He spoke the words and it existed, but he can't solve the small problem in my life. You know he's been solving problems for 6,000 years? There's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes says. So the problem you're dealing with right now, guarantee you somebody's dealt with it before and God's brought him out of it. You're not that special. You're not one of a kind. There's been billions of people on this earth. Someone has gone through the same exact thing you have and God has brought them through it. You want to know why it's worked for them and not you? Because you're limiting God, they believed. You have to fully believe God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what you're going to have to do sometimes? You may have to wait on God. Guess what? If God promised something, it will happen. It might not happen the exact time frame that you want. You want to know why it's not happening the time you want? Because you probably can't handle it right now. Maybe you need to take a little bit more time. God's got a plan. He knows what's going on. He's declaring the everlasting from everlasting. He knows whatever thing's going to happen in life. He knows how to work things out for you. He sees the future. I can't see the future. I have no idea what's going to happen the rest of this day. God does. So when I just sit back and let God be in control and follow his plan, you know what always happens? When you follow God, it always works out. You know, when you follow man, it never works out. Man, there's a way that seemeth right to man, but then thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs says. Turn to, there's so many verses. Literally, I already lost track of where I'm at. Turn to Numbers 13. Sorry, hold your finger here. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 before you get there. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. I love these verses. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. You know where true wisdom comes from? God. So there is actually no wisdom in my own eyes. When I just trust the Lord, that's how I get wisdom. Fear the Lord's beginning of knowledge. Fear the Lord's beginning of wisdom. When you just trust in the Lord and stop thinking with your own brain, it's amazing what God can do. We're going to read some verses in a little bit about faith. Anybody ever hear the term blind faith? You realize how redundant that is to have blind faith? Faith is literally believing without seeing. You don't have to see to have faith. I don't have to see God to know that God is real. I don't have to see God do these things that we read about to know that they actually happened. I don't have to see God save somebody's soul to know that he can save souls. Because he said he can do it. Turn to Numbers 13. We have to remember that just because we might not be able to see or understand who God is does not mean that God can't do what he said he's going to do. Numbers 13, starting verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send men, every one a ruler among them. So we're going to read the story of the 12 spies sent to Canaan. One thing I want to focus on, verse 2. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. You know what God didn't tell them to do? Go see if you can handle it. Go see if you can figure it out. He just said, go look at the land I'm giving you. It didn't matter. They didn't have to take notes of, well, there's this and this. He just said, go look at what I promised you. And then we jump down to verse 26. You realize how easy it would have been for Israel to just walk through the Canaan land and take over what God gave it to them. You realize how much pain and suffering they went through because they started thinking on their own. Jump down to verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we come unto this land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in there are of great stature. And there we saw the giants of the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. We read this report of the spies. They said, they're too strong. Can't handle it. There's too many people. They're too strong. It's almost like God didn't understand who was there. Turn to Genesis real quickly. Genesis 15. Genesis 15, verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt unto the great river, the Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kedemites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. You realize God knew exactly who was in that land. 500 years ago when he showed it to Abraham, God was not worried about those inhabitants. He knew what was going to happen. They said those wall cities, fast forward to the Battle of Jericho. What happened to those walls? They came tumbling down. We sing the song. God knew exactly what needed to happen. God knew exactly what was going to face these people. You know, all they had to do was just walk in there and take the land that God promised to them. It took correct me if I'm wrong, my timeline people over here. 500 years from Abraham to Moses, till they take the land of Canaan, give or take. You know, it took 500 years. Guess what? The promise of God was just as sure when he promised it to Abraham, as it was when Joshua and the children of Israel walked in there and took the Canaan land. That promise still holds true. So when God promises something, no, it's going to happen. But sometimes we get in the way. Jump to chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Jump down to verse 7. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we possess, or pass through to search it, is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then we will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation of the children of Israel. You go read Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is telling you to do it, who can stand up against God? Nobody. So just do it. Jump down to Numbers chapter 14, verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to this thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, and have tempted me, now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit in him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. And say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against thee. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. You realize the blessings that these people just lost because they doubted God. The promise of Egypt was that they were leaving to go to a promised land. That promise had been there for 500 years, getting ready to be fulfilled. And they said, God, you can't do it. Everyone 20 years old and older besides Joshua and Caleb died before they went to that promised land. You go read, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give you. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That was a promise of God to Joshua. Same promise he made to Abraham and to Moses. You know what the only difference is? Joshua followed it. He said, okay, let's go. They crossed the Jordan River. You realize all that happened in Egypt before those people that doubted God saw. They saw the plagues happen on Egypt. They saw the Red Sea open. They saw all these amazing things happen. And yet they still doubted God. How many amazing things have you seen God do? How many amazing things do we read about in the Word of God? And yet we still doubt God every single day. Why? Do we just don't believe God? Do we just hate God? Do we really hate the blessings of God that much that we don't want them from Him? You realize all you have to do is just do what God says and He'll make it happen. It might not look the exact same way that you may think it does. Guess what? It'll still happen the way you want it, the way God wants it to happen. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Actually, before we get there, turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought to him the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You have to understand, just because you've believed God all before, doesn't mean it's automatic you're going to believe God the next time. You have to make the decision, am I going to believe God in this or not? Do I believe that God can keep his promise? You know those disciples? They'd cast out devils before. They had done some pretty great things. Why couldn't they do this one? Because of their unbelief. That's all that when you boil it down, the only thing that separates you and God is your unbelief. You go read Revelation. What is the only reason that those people are dying and going to hell and cast into the lake of fire? Because of their unbelief. The only thing that stops God from you and your life and from them working together is your unbelief. So the question is, why do you not believe that God can do it? What more does he have to show you to show that he can do it? What more does he have to put into the Word of God? I'll tell you this, you're not getting any more. So just take what he's given to us. Go read and see all the great things that God has done for us. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Going back to that children of Israel, their reports, they had those giants in the land. They were but grasshoppers to these people. You realize God can defeat the giants in our life. 1 Samuel 17. I'm sure everybody in this room has heard this story before, but we're going to read it again. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. And David spake unto the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And jump down to verse 29. And David said, What have I done now? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul and sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth and the man of war from his youth. Jump down to verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee out of mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines to this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You realize David did not do anything but let God use him. All those men of Israel could have done the exact same thing. But it took one little kid believing for it to actually happen. You realize you don't have to let somebody else do the work for God's called you to do. You can do it. You just got to believe that God will let you do it. And you realize, what did David take? He didn't take a sword. He didn't take a shield. He didn't take all that. He took God on his side. Can you understand when you read the Word of God, understand that there is literally nothing that God cannot do. It may seem impossible to you. Just let God do it. Sometimes life seems a little bit impossible. I don't know how I'm going to get this figured out. I can't do this. It doesn't work like that anymore. You know, God, I believe that happened. It worked back in that day. We're in a new time. It doesn't work that same way again. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it worked back then, it's going to work now. So just follow what God wants you to do. Well, I can't do that. You're right. You can't. But turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You realize when you just give God his portion, it's amazing what God can give back to you. And you might not have everything in this life. I understand the prosperity gospel. You'll get everything in your life. No, you might not get everything. You know what you'll have? Enough to have a good life. You will have peace. You will have joy. You will have a good life with God. All you have to do is have faith in God that he can do it. But I see it in the Word of God. I just can't do it. Again, get the I out of that sentence. I see it in the Word of God. Let's do it. Yeah. Well, I just can't. You realize how many times we use the word I when it comes to God's word? You realize you don't need I in that. Just if it's God's word, just do what God says. You realize the only time that God has done those amazing things is when mankind got out of the way and just let God be in charge of their life. Let God be God and everything else will work out. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto them, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak thou the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Then Jesus heard it, and he marveled, and said unto them, followed. Verily I say unto you, I have found not, or have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come to me from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto them, unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so let it be done to thee. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. You realize how much faith it took for this centurion to walk up to him. By the way, you think about the time frame. This centurion, he was a Roman. You know, he was a Gentile, and he knew who Jesus was. He knew that if he just walked up and said, Lord, you just need to heal it. You don't even have to go see him. This centurion realized, you know what? He knows what it's like to have authority. If he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. He tells one of his soldiers to go do this, it happens. You realize if God says this is going to happen, he can make it happen that way. All you have to do is have a little bit of faith. He just said, I don't even need you to come see him. Just say the words and I know it'll happen. Verse 10, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Verse 13, and his servant was healed the selfsame hour. You realize how quick turnaround that was? He said it, and then that person was healed. All it took was a little bit of faith. How much does God want to give to you? How much does God want you to do? All you have to do is just have a little bit of faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't have to see what's going to happen. Just know that God has a plan and he'll work it out. And by the way, God's answer is always going to be better than your own. Your own will lead you to somewhere you don't want to go. God's will lead you to where you want to be. Perfect example, heaven or hell. You follow God's route, you get to go be in heaven, that city forever, eternal, glory and honor, beautiful, can't even comprehend in your brain how amazing that's going to be. You follow man, you're going to die and go to hell, unable to comprehend the torments and terror that you will be. You realize the difference in those two options is, do I believe God or not? That is all it comes down to. Turn to Revelation. Revelation 21. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto them, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You realize, if you choose to believe God, there is an endless amount of possibilities what your life can become and what your life in eternity will be. If you don't believe God, you have one end, and that is the lake of fire forever. Never-ending torments and terribleness. How many of you want to sign up for that? Can't wait. I want to go burn in hell forever. No one's going to ever say that. How many of us would love to be in that city with God, where God shall wipe away all your tears, no sorrow, nor crying, nor death? You know how amazing it would be to never have sorrow again in your life? Just think about that. This past year, we had a lot of people pass away. There was a lot of sorrow. Just know, No one will ever pass away again. I won't ever have to miss somebody again. I will see my Savior face to face. And all I have to do is just do what he says to do. All I have to do is let him be in control and follow the steps that he's let out for that. Lost friend, if you are scared and dying and going to hell right now, just believe that God can save your soul and it will happen. You don't have to try. You don't have to do this or that. Just give over to God and let him be in control. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9 says. You can't do it. God can do it. Go read all the things that God has done. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I love these verses here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the ultimate thing that people are scared of in this life? The ultimate thing that we're trying as mankind to get past is death. How can I beat death? How can I beat death? The only way to beat death is to know Jesus Christ, the only one who has ever been able to fully beat death. Turn to Luke. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and crucified, and the third day shall rise again. And they remembered his words. You realize Jesus Christ beat death. Amen. He died on that cross. 100%. He was without life on that cross. He died. And he, 3 days later, walked out of that grave alive again. Do you realize that that actually happened? You can beat death with God. Like I said, there's a bunch of examples. You go look at Kings. Elisha brought a kid back to life. How did he do that? By God. You go turn to Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, saying, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Verse 9 says he was taken up dead. Paul went down there and said, no, his life is in him. Verse 11, when he was therefore come back up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. You realize how scary that probably was? This kid died and came back to life and was eating bread with them like a couple seconds later. Do you realize how quickly God can work? He can make the impossible possible that quickly. You can be dead right now and made alive once again right now. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You realize God has opened the door for you. He's given you every evidence, every little bit of truth that you need to know who God is and know what God can do. The question is, do you believe that God can do it today? If you are sitting there thinking, I don't know, you don't believe it. If you have a backup plan, I'm going to follow God, but I have this backup plan. This is my safety net. You're not believing God, and it's not going to work. You can't have a backup plan. There is no other backup plan. It's what God says, or it's not. You know, Peter, when he was walking on the water, he looked to God. He was able to walk. You know what happens when he started looking anywhere else? He started to sink. You know who saved him? Jesus Christ was the one that saved him. Imagine how different your life would be if you just kept your eye on Jesus Christ the whole time. Well, it's impossible. I can't. The way God wants me to live is just too hard. I can't make it work. You know what? Why not? When has ever Hebrews chapter 13? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what men shall do unto me. If Jesus Christ is with you forever, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what all you have to do is just believe right there what he says. And you'd be amazed what could happen. Well, I just can't do it. I know I have this thing hindering my life with God, but I just can't let go of it because it's going to be too hard to let go of it. I can't follow what God wants. I can't have my family in the order that God wants me to have it because it's going to be too hard. We can't survive if we follow God's order. I guarantee you, you can because God says you can. And I look around. We're so surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Go read the word of God and see how often people just do what God wants them to do and how often God takes care of it. You realize, you go read the story of Ruth. She had a husband, he died. She had no idea what was going to happen in her life. All she did was, I'm going to make God, your God, my God. She told Naomi. She had no idea she was going to meet Boaz. She had no idea she was going to get married and have a life. She had no idea that eventually she was going to have a child that a lineage all the way down to Jesus Christ. She had no idea when she walked into that land. All she did was just said, okay, your God, I want to follow you. How many of us can read stories? How many of us have moments in our life where we knew, hey, this seems like it's not going to work. But you just follow God and it works out. And you see how much God has blessed us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Look in your life and see how God has blessed you exceedingly above all that you ask or think. And understand, the only way you got there is when you got yourself out of the way and started believing who Jesus Christ was. Turn to Isaiah 45. Let's all stand. Pianist and song leader, come. Isaiah 45, verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Let them take counsel together who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none besides me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, and there is none else. There is one God on this earth that knows everything about you. Jump down to verse chapter 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Understand, there is one God in this world who has ultimate control of everything. All you have to do, look unto me, and be ye saved. Lost or saved, the answer is still the same. Look unto God, and let him be the one in control. If you are sitting here right now, knowing that God is calling you, and you need to be saved, all you have to do is kneel down, ask God to save your soul, believing full-heartedly that he can and he will. I know because he did it to me. I know because his word says it will happen exactly the way he says it's going to happen. If you're sitting in your life and you're at crossroads and you don't know what to do, look to Jesus Christ. He'll make the answer clear of what you need to do. Well, I know what I need to do. I just can't do it. Get the eye out of the way and let's understand. You can't do it. With man, nothing is possible. With God, all things are possible. What number shall we sing?